This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
My story tonight is the story of a woman, Jessie Graham, who took her degrees as a doctor early in this century, when it was unusual, to say the least, to meet a woman who was a qualified medical practitioner. Jessie Graham successfully combined the careers of wife, mother, doctor, social pioneer, and later public health official, and remained, despite deep personal sorrow and disappointment, a delightfully feminine and sympathetic person. It's to her courage that my story is dedicated, and I've called it The Work Must Never Stop.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
My story begins on the campus of Edinburgh University, where the results of recent examinations have just been posted on the notice board.
Jessie Duncan. Hey, wait a minute.
Hello, I didn't see you. What are you doing here today, George?
I've been trying to find you. I never knew a girl could walk so fast. I've had to run to catch up with you. Well, congratulations, Dr. Jessie Duncan.
Thank you, Dr. George Graham. You saw the results then?
That's one of the things I came up for. That, and to speak to you.
What do you want to speak to me about?
May I walk home with you?
Of course. I was going to walk anyway. It's such a lovely afternoon.
Good. Well, what are you going to do now that you're qualified?
I don't really know. I haven't made up my mind. My sister wants me to set up in private practice. My parents left me enough money to do that, for a time anyway, but now I don't know.
Oh, you sound disheartened. What's the trouble?
Oh, George, let's be honest. What chance has a woman GP in this year of grace 1900? If I put Jessie Duncan on my brass plate, no one will call. And if I put just J. Duncan, they'll soon find out that I was a woman and go off to find a medical man. Patients won't come to a woman doctor. Not yet, anyway. You know that.
But you've always said that they will, one day.
I know, but that day is a long time coming. What am I going to do until the prejudice dies?
Well, research or a hospital job?
I think I've had enough of hospitals for the time being. I must do research, I suppose. Although I'd much rather work with people.
I know how you feel. So would I.
Well, you do work with people. As senior registrar to the foremost surgeon at St. Andrews, you work with people all the time. How much longer do you plan to be here?
Jessie, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I've had some bad news from China.
Bad news? Your father?
I heard from my mother today. The newspaper reports of the Boxer Rising in China prepared me that all might not be well at the mission station, but it's the worst possible news, Jessie. My father was murdered by the Boxers in a general massacre a month ago.
Oh, George. What can I say? Oh, dear George, I am sorry for you. And for your mother, poor soul. Is she safe?
She was hidden by some Chinese peasants my father had helped. They saved her life. These Boxers are fanatics. They're killers, Jesse. They're all against all foreigners in China, especially missionaries. The mission station my father's hospital is attached to was practically wiped out. They'll have to start all over again.
What a tragedy. I'll write to your mother this evening, George.
So all my plans have changed. I'm going to China, Jess. I'm going out to Chefu.
To the hospital, George?
I feel that I must. My mother needs me. She has no one else. My father would want the work to continue. I must go. You do see that, Jess, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Jesse, I was going to ask you if everything had worked out as I hoped. I was going to ask you to marry me, Jesse. But now it wouldn't be fair to you.
Why not?
Well, it's obvious why not. It's dangerous. It's terribly hard work. Often disheartening. It's a poor heathen country. There's no comfort at all. Especially for a woman. It would be selfish to ask you, Jess.
You haven't said anything about loving me, George.
Oh, Jess, don't make it worse. Of course I love you. I always have, I think. I wouldn't have minded giving up a career as a surgeon to go to China, but to have to give you up, that's the heartbreaking thing. And I had such high hopes that you'd say yes.
Well, that's it then. I found my job, and it's going to be in a hospital after all. In China. When do we sail? Oh, there you are, George. Stretched out on a deck chair without a care in the world, enjoying the Mediterranean sunshine.
Darling, where have you been? I've missed you.
I've been in the cabin, packing away our winter clothes and getting out the lighter things we bought for the hot weather. What's the book you're reading?
That's my Chinese grammar. It's a very difficult language to learn, Jess. I don't think I'm making much headway.
Well, how can you tell? I'm sure you are, really.
Well, I tried it out in the cabin steward this morning and didn't seem to get very far. I don't think he even recognized his own language.
Well, we've got at least another 3 weeks on the boat, and you can study without any interruptions.
I'd like to bet I'm the only man in the world who's tried to learn Chinese on his honeymoon.
Look, I've asked the steward to bring us some tea up here on deck. Put your book down for 5 minutes and tell me some more about Chefu.
Well, I've told you almost everything I know myself. What else is there that you want to hear?
Well, let me see. I know about the hospital, how it's grown from 6 beds to 160. I know it's got a comparatively modern operating theatre staffed by Chinese who were trained by your father. I know from the drug shortage in London that we shall have to fight tuberculosis, anemia, typhoid, cholera. I know all these things, but what about the women, George? How do the women live? What about their home life, their children? Do the children go to school?
That's one of the things the Inland China Mission has brought to Northern China, education.
That's the organization that founded our hospital, isn't it?
That's right.
By all accounts, they've worked very hard to improve the living conditions of the people.
Certainly have. They've had such senseless opposition. But I do know that they've managed to introduce ideas of Western medicine to a superstitious heathen people. They've improved methods of agriculture, and they've instituted measures for famine relief.
Wasn't all that established before the mission came?
No. The Chinese authorities don't care about the country people. The wealthy Chinese are all right. It's the poor people one is concerned about. But possibly the most important thing from our point of view is that the missionaries are working now to establish the medical and nursing professions as a part of Chinese culture.
And the schools?
Adults as well as children can go to school. It's hard to believe this, but the Bible is the principal textbook. It's been translated into Chinese and they learn to read from that.
Your mother and father have had a great part in all this, George. You must be proud of them.
If I do half as much good as my father, I shan't be disappointed. Do you really think you'll be able to settle down to the life out there, Jess? It's going to be very different for you, in every way.
I can't wait to get started, darling. It all sounds so worthwhile, and we'll be working together. That's the most important thing.
George and Jesse Graham quickly settled down at the mission hospital at Chefu. There was so much to be done, so much to learn. Jesse found that the Chinese women soon learned to trust her and flocked to her for attention. And George had his hands full with the administration of the hospital in addition to his medical duties. It was hard, grueling work, but they helped each other. And they had as their principal advisor, George's mother, who proved to be a tower of strength to the young wife. She initiated Jesse into the devious ways of the Chinese mothers who brought their children for treatment and saw the young couple firmly established before she left for retirement in England several years later. By this time, Jesse had begun to institute a reform of her own, a one-woman crusade, she called it, against a cruel, superstitious custom. She started her campaign quietly, But the following conversation was the first of many which took place in her surgery.
Mrs. Kuang, tell me something. Why do you bind your child's feet up like this? It's painful for the child and cruel.
It is thing must do. It's not good for girls to have big feet. Must be bound from baby so not to grow.
But she'll never be able to walk properly. Look at me. Oh. I can walk or run if I want to. Surely that is good.
Honorable doctor lady, not Chinese. Honorable doctor lady do what she like with own feet. My child have proper Chinese feet. I bind them up.
I don't think you should, Mrs. Kuang. China is changing. Soon your little girl will go to school. She'll play games, lead a healthy life. Later, perhaps, she may train to be a nurse or a doctor, like me. She will not do well with deformed feet.
Oh, you speak like prophet. Maybe honorable doctor lady say some sense. I will ask father. I will see.
So, George, it's up to you now. If you can get some of the older men to see sense and reason, we may persuade the women to give up this horrible, cruel thing.
It's an old established custom, Jess. You're quite right, of course. But it's difficult to get them to change the things their fathers did. But I will have a talk with some of the younger men, see how they react.
That's about all we can do at present. I won't give up, George.
I know you won't. But just at the moment, I've got a job for you. Can you act as anaesthetist for Dr. Huang Xi? He's got an amputation this afternoon.
Oh, of course I will. But where's Dr. Yang Tai?
He's not here. He's at his clinic in the village today, remember?
Oh, I'd quite forgotten. What time is the operation?
2:00. See you at tea time, with any luck. Jess, where are you?
I'm here. What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter with me. The doctor said you left the theater feeling ill. Directly I'd finished, I came over to see what was troubling you.
Well, if you've finished, I'll get you a drink. You look about all in yourself.
Oh, I've had a busy day. But you sit down, Jess. I'll get you something. What would you like? Fresh lemonade?
Sounds lovely. That's better. It's been hot today, hasn't it?
Not especially so. Was it the heat upset you?
No, George. Not the heat.
There you are. Was the amputation pretty grim?
Not at all. I was lost in admiration of Dr. Huang Sai's technique. He's going to be a very good surgeon.
What was it then, Jess? It's not like you to be off-colour.
Perhaps you're going to find me a bit off-colour now and then for the next few months, George. Not able to do quite as much work anyway. I'm going to have a baby, George. What? Isn't that wonderful news?
Oh, Jessie. Wonderful news indeed. Oh, this is going to make a big difference. We'll have such a lot of planning to do. These quarters are no good for a baby. Will you want to go home to your sister for the bus?
Oh, what a fuss. Of course not. I'm staying right here.
Excuse me, please. Very sorry to interrupt Honorable Doctor's talk.
Oh, come in, Yang Tai. Anything wrong?
I'm afraid something very wrong, Dr. George. May I talk now, please?
Of course. What is it?
At my clinic this afternoon in the village, they bring me man dying. I attend to him, then he die.
If they bring them to us too late, we can't blame ourselves, Yang Tai. Don't worry about it.
But there is something else. I examine man, I think. I almost sure he die of cholera.
I see. If you're right, we must close the village, stop anyone coming in or out, test all the water, the wells, the river. Come with me, Yang Tai. We'll get started. You'll be all right, darling?
I'll be all right, but isn't there anything I can do?
If this thing turns out to be cholera, you're going to have plenty to do, Jess. Come, Yang Tai, let's get to work.
Before many days had passed, their worst fears were realized. They had to face a cholera epidemic, a terrifying experience. One of the first to die was Dr. Yang Tai, and every day brought its agonizing toll. George and Jessie worked unceasingly, almost without rest, amongst the ill and dying. Then, when the epidemic was almost conquered, George fell a victim. He was ill for only a few hours, and in spite of all that Jesse could do, he died. Left quite alone, with no other white woman near her, with only a handful of desperately tired helpers to aid her, she carried on until all danger of the epidemic spreading was past. Then she yielded to pressure and agreed to go home. Dr. Huang Si escorted her onto the boat for England and said goodbye on behalf of them all.
Madame Jessie, it is best for you to go. We shall always remember you and your honorable husband, but the time has come for you to go now to your own people.
Yes, I know. I have many happy memories of Che Fu, although sorrow too. I shall always remember my good friends here. God bless you all.
Before you go, here is something I want to give you for your son when he grows up and qualifies.
Oh, I didn't think any of you knew about the baby.
Oh, you, please, forgive me, but I am a doctor too. I know. I wish for you and your son much happiness in the future. This parcel, it is your husband's surgical instrument, the ones he used all the time. I think his son like to have them one day when he is doctor too.
That's very kind of you, Dr. Tsai. I'll take care of them for him, and I'll write and tell you when he is born.
You will please do that, and now, Godspeed.
Jessie's baby, a boy, was born in Edinburgh, at her old home, and he was christened Duncan George. Jessie's sister, Elspeth, looked after the baby and his mother with loving care. And when Jessie felt that she could safely leave her baby with her sister, she made plans for their future.
I've decided what I must do, Elspeth.
I'm glad, Jessie. You've been very thoughtful these past few weeks. Have you worked it all out at last?
Yes. I'm going to take a diploma of public health.
Are you now? And for why would you be doing that?
Three reasons. One, I feel sure there's a future for a woman in that field. Two, the money's good. And three, if I can get the kind of job I want, the hours are short, and I should have some free time to help Duncan with his studies. With his Latin, anyway.
Listen to the lass, always running ahead of herself. He's only a bairn yet, and she's got him learning Latin already.
Seriously, Elspeth, have you looked at his hands? Strong. Broad. He may be only a bairn, but if ever I saw hands designed for a surgeon, he's got them. The work must never stop, Elspeth. Remember that.
Jessie took her diploma and made a new career for herself in public health. She worked in this field for some years and then answered an advertisement for a post in Birmingham. A post which called for high qualifications and wide experience, both of which requirements, of course, she could meet. And she had high hopes of getting the position.
Well, gentlemen, as you know, our advertisement is to fill the position vacant on the medical officer staff due an unusually large number of replies. We've shortlisted the applications to four. You'll find all the relevant details on your agendas. Now, you'll see from the medical officer's annotations that he considers Dr. J. Graham to be the most suitable applicant. I strongly advise you to be guided by his recommendation, gentlemen.
Yes, well, the details are very clear.
This Dr. Graham looks all right.
I shall think we could safely leave it to the MOH.
Yes, well, if you would like a personal interview with Dr. Graham, gentlemen, it could be easily arranged.
I don't feel there's any need for that, Mr. Town Clerk. Necessary information is all here. I think Dr. Graham is our man.
I'll go along with that.
Yes.
His experience is all that can be desired.
And his qualifications are actually higher than we specified. I'm in agreement, Mr. Town Clerk.
There is just one thing, gentlemen. Dr. Graham is a woman.
We can't have that
woman. I'm inclined to agree with you.
Yes. Well, the medical officer knows that Dr. Graham is a woman, and he has no objections. In fact, he's rather in favour of a woman being appointed.
Is he indeed?
Well, in that case, I can see no reason to change my mind. She's the one I vote for.
She meets all our requirements professionally.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'll go along with what I said at first. Dr. Graham, that's my decision.
Yeah, we've never appointed a woman in the medical officer's department before.
Well, there's no reason why we shouldn't do it now, Alderman Hinks.
Well, all right then. Appoint her and we'll see how she goes.
Splendid. The vote's unanimous. I need hardly remind you, gentlemen, that Birmingham has always prided herself on leading the rest of the country in civic matters.
Here, here.
I foresee this decision of yours clearing the way for women doctors to take a much more active part in the world of medicine.
Yes, sir.
Jessie, her sister, and Duncan, now a fine boy doing very well at school and growing fast, made a new home for themselves in Birmingham. Chefu seemed very far away, but Jessie still corresponded with Dr. Huangxi and was glad to know that, although the mission was eventually closed, the hospital continued to serve the district and went from strength to strength. When they'd been in Birmingham several years, the medical officer of health sent for Jessie, and what he had to say was something of a surprise to her.
Dr. Graham, we've asked you to come here this afternoon because we have an important matter to discuss with you. You know these gentlemen, the chairman of the education committee, the chief inspector of school.
Yes, indeed.
You may have heard that the council is anxious to establish some scheme whereby the child at school may have proper medical attention. He may be seen by our doctor at regular intervals throughout his school life.
I have heard the idea mooted, Dr. Seymour, and I think it's an excellent one, if it can be organized.
Oh, there are difficulties. Not insurmountable, I feel, but difficulties nevertheless. And that is why we've sent for you.
I don't understand.
It comes to this, Dr. Graham. We are offering you the position of medical officer of health for schools. It would entail the complete organization of the scheme from scratch, within the bounds of a skeleton constitution which the town clerk has already in hand. Your staff would be small at first, but we visualize that eventually your department would provide a complete medical cover for every child of school age.
I don't know what to say. To organize such a scheme, the idea of it almost frightens me.
Dr. Graham, I've worked with you for many years, and that's the first time I've heard you mention fear. Oh, come, you don't mean it.
Perhaps not, but may I think this over for a day or so? Please.
Well, certainly you may. But I won't take no for an answer. We have quite decided that you are the one to carry this through.
Jessie took the position offered, and in doing so made history. She was the first full-time school's medical officer in the country, and her department became a powerful factor in maintaining good health among school children of the city. Today, of course, we take our school's medical services for granted, and few people will ever remember the pioneers in the English city of Birmingham. Jessie could be proud of her achievements in this regard, but her proudest day came some years later, when she and Elspeth visited Edinburgh to see her son Duncan receive his degree.
The great hall looks just as it did in my day, Elspeth. Same eager young faces, same staid professors, same anxious parents.
I wasn't anxious for you that day all those years ago. I was so proud of my sister, and today I'm proud of you both. Can you see Duncan?
Yes, I can. Oh, he looks so like George. How blessed I am to have him.
What did he say when you gave him George's surgical instruments this morning?
He said, just as I've heard his father say so many times, he said, the work must never stop.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.
Thank you.